Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at windowskansascity.com.
How in the world did we get here? Yeah, here, where half the country is rooting against Team USA in the U.S. Women's World Cup. How did we get to this place? I can't really do it, but boy, I know an awful lot of people that do. I cannot bring myself to say I'm rooting against Team USA or I want Team USA to lose because I don't like the players. I don't like what they stand for. I don't like the way they can't just play soccer and stay out of whatever it is that they have of a grievance, of a protest, or whatever it is. We've watched a half a dozen women soccer players in this World Cup do silent protests, basically, during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, where they put their hands behind their backs, they kind of bow their heads, and they don't sing the song or even look up at the flag or whatever. I don't know what this is about. It used to be about equal pay, but the women soccer players in so many cases make more than the men's soccer players in this country anyway. I don't know what their grievance is. I don't know what their beef is. They're led by this freak, Megan Rapinoe, that I don't know anybody that likes her. And she's clearly become a cancer in this program and affected so many of the other players on this team that they're just not very likable. And there's just so many people that don't like them. Now we've seen conservatives literally celebrate that this team stinks, lost, eliminated, out, rooting against Team USA. Megan Rapinoe had a penalty kick. This thing was scoreless. It went into the shootout at the end. And she just chucked one up into the concourse, missed it by a mile. It was awful. And I got to tell you, that did make me feel pretty good. When I saw her choke, I did like that. But I can't say I'm sitting there rooting for Team USA to lose. I just don't have that in me. I certainly don't care about Sweden. It wasn't like I wanted Sweden to win. But it started maybe about a week ago. Megyn Kelly on her podcast called these women's soccer players morons. And she said outwardly, I hope they lose. I hope they just get smoked and they're out. I know a lot of people that felt that way, absolutely felt that way. But when I see uniforms in any sport, whatever it is, when I see a United States uniform competing in something that is global, whether it's Olympics or World Cup or whatever, I can't root against her. I can't do it. But I did gain a great deal of joy seeing Megan Rapinoe, who has just been a complete pain in the rear and is obviously going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars off being a social justice warrior or something after soccer. She's 38. This is probably the end for her. And she missed badly, and it could have made all the difference in the world. So, yeah, there was some joy there. Nobody had more fun with this than Donald Trump did. Of course, he goes to Truth Social, and Trump pecks out on Truth Social on Sunday, quote, "The shocking and totally unexpected loss by the U.S. women's soccer team to Sweden is fully emblematic of what is happening to our once great nation under crooked Joe Biden. Many of our players were openly hostile to America. No other country behaves in such a manner or even close. Woke equals failure. Nice shot, Megan. The USA is going to hell. MAGA." Well, I don't know that the USA is going to hell because the soccer team lost. I certainly think this soccer team could be better if they focused more on what it is that they do and not trying to be social justice warriors. Again, I don't really know what they have against America, what they hate about America. U.S. women's soccer passed some rules that they cannot kneel. They can't turn their back. There's certain things that they absolutely can't do. They have to be present for the national anthem because they weren't going to go through this again. It wasn't going to happen. They passed some rules. And then these women just decided to say, well, listen, we're going to stand there with our arms crossed and our eyes closed or whatever and our heads down. And that's our silent protest. Well, you're not really even doing anything. Nobody would notice except they go and tell people they're going to do it. And then they do it and go, yeah, that's our silent protest. It's flavor of the month, whatever you're protesting. I mean, Trump's not in office now. They all used to do it because, oh, our president and the way our country's being run, of course we're going to bow and we're going to do this and kneel and all these other things. You got everything you could possibly want. You've got an open border, basically unfettered litters of people just swarming in. I can't even imagine at this point anybody on the left that has any kind of a grievance. Who's your grievance with? Your people are in charge. You're doing everything you want. There's nothing left for you to complain about. There's literally nothing left for you to complain about. So no, she's not likable. And it's pretty bizarre that we're at a place where millions and millions and millions of Americans were rooting against them, wanted to see them fail. And it's pretty amazing how we got here. We often say America's never been this polarized, whatever, which isn't true because we had a civil war at one point. That was fairly polarized. This is the worst it's been in our lifetimes, I think for most of us, internally, domestically. But it is pretty remarkable that when you have so many people on the left that literally hate this country, what she is, what she stands for, how we got where we are, they have some sort of guilt or don't like our history. They want the Constitution to go away. They want to start over. They want to be one world, one global people, whatever these things are. When you see that and they speak, there's for every action, there's a reaction. We're going to react. And the reaction from so many conservatives in this country was just sheer joy on social media and absolute trolling of Megan Rapinoe and some of her teammates. I mean, they got it. They in a way, they got a whole spoonful of what they deserve for, you know, flapping their gums, thinking they're the best team and not make it. There's no reason the United States shouldn't have the best women's soccer team. We have traditionally had that. The other countries are catching up a little, but they shouldn't be there. The United States should still be dominating women's soccer. And it was a completely and utterly embarrassing moment for the U.S. women's national team. And the piling on is just amazing. Absolutely. There's no reason for me to pile on anymore. And you may be one of those that just was overjoyed by seeing Team USA lose. It still hurts me to see the United States lose something. It does not hurt me to see Megan Rapinoe miss a goal or for her personally to lose. That doesn't bother me at all. Okay? That just doesn't bother me at all. So I'm somewhere in between here. Not jumping for joy, but there was a little bit of fun in there because she was such an integral part of the failure. I mean, it you could just basically say it's on her. Her penalty kick was I joke she chucked it up into the concourse basically, went flying way up and over the goal. I'm like, oh boy, that thing never, ever had a chance. And she became the lightning rod very, very quickly. But there you go. Six players were silent for the anthem at the U.S. Women's World Cup. Half the country rooted against them. And they're very happy to see the liberal soccer team out and gone. And Trump probably did the most piling on. A big weekend as the conference realignment is taking shape with Oregon and Washington to the Big Ten, and then Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah headed to the Big 12. This is, it almost came out exactly like people were thinking it would a couple of months ago. There was a lot of last minute moving and shaking and all these other things going on, but the Big 12 will have 16 teams, and I'm hopeful they will rename the conference the Big 16. As you know, the Big 12 was formed in 1928 as the Big Six. Why can't it be the Big 16 at this point? That would certainly work for me. And I didn't think there would be any controversy with any of this time. I mean, okay, so the conference realignment thing's been going on for 15 years. Let alone did I think that the chirping would come from two schools' football coaches that were part of realignment years and years and years ago. Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, Deion Sanders at Colorado, both had really stern things to say. Now, Deion, I think, likes where he's going. He likes getting into the Big 12. I think it's a better recruiting area for him to go down into Texas. And you know, for his program, I think it's a very good move. But then he started talking about the student athletes and paying, you know, bags of cash and what we're paying players and all this stuff. It just rings hollow. To me, there are no complaints left in college athletics, okay? And Eli Drinkwitz saying, I don't like all this realignment. Well, you don't, because you're making, you know, $2 million a year more at Missouri because of realignment than Chris Klieman is at Kansas State, and he's 10 times the coach you are. You're making all this money at Missouri because you're in the SEC. They're overpaying you. And he's like, oh, this conference realignment, no, it's all, we make all this money. And has anybody been concerned about the student athletes? He says, football will be fine, Drinkwitz said. What about the other student athletes and how their travel woes? Well, so what? The college kids have to travel like America travels. Sometimes they got to get on a Southwest jet or an American Airlines jet. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're on their own charters. Sometimes they fly commercial. So they have to do like people in the real world that are in business and travel for a living. Like my buddy Cato, who travels all the time. Oh, he has to go to the airport and make a connection to go to a city. It's really, who's worried about him and his job? Nobody. Nobody. And you've decided that we need to pay these players. The realignment thing has happened. It's not good for the fans. None of this was good for the fans. The regional rivalries are fading in college athletics. The players are getting paid. The liberal sports media came along 15 years ago and said, this is a joke. All these millions and millions of dollars, we got to pay all these players up and down the lineup. Let them do this, let them do that. And in some cases, it's sheer capitalism, like Livy Dunn, the gymnast at LSU. She's just gone out and made it on her own. But in most cases now, they have all these consortiums put together where they raise all this money, and as soon as players show up on campus, they just drop bags of cash to them and say, oh, go do a little thing on Twitter that nobody sees for a car dealer or something, and we call it name, image, and likeness, and they're making money right and left. It's being used in recruitment. There is no question it's being used in recruitment. That is supposedly against the rules of NIL, but nobody's enforcing it. So Eli Drinkwitz is going to be concerned that the Big 12 just added four more teams when it was getting picked apart by his league. I don't even understand how he got to a point where he's talking about student athletes and the difficulty of them traveling and playing in smaller sports and minor sports. And is anybody concerned, you know, about these other athletes and these other sports? I'll give you a real short answer, Eli. No, nobody's concerned about those other kids and those other sports. And I've known many of them. I've known many that have played collegiate baseball or golf, and they get an eighth of a scholarship or a quarter of a scholarship. And yeah, it's terrible. The golf team has to travel and go to Maui for 10 days in January and play golf. It's terrible. Has anybody thought about how far away Hawaii is or the Bahamas or these places that they go play in their golf tournaments? Nobody. I'm sorry, nobody. And Dion was talking about cash. It's over. College sports is never going back. It's never going to be the same. It is strictly and utterly big business now, professional sports, and that's that. There's no putting it back. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Just don't see how you can. The best we can hope for, had a great discussion this weekend. We were at Colbert Hills this weekend for a golf tournament, which was great. And of course, a lot of people there talking about college athletics and the realignment and everything. So the best we can hope for right now is that somehow this will become like a players union or something. I don't know if it would be all college athletes or by sport or how that would work, that they would unionize, or that the NCAA very quickly would figure something out and the schools would all agree to a salary structure, a salary cap. Like maybe college football is a $10 million salary cap. You can spend $10 million on your players every year, but no more. That's what you can spend, okay? And if you want to go buy yourself a $5 million quarterback and sprinkle the rest around, you can. I just think we're going to have to get to that point. It's an arms race now. It's the Wild Wild West. That's what everybody uses as a term. And it's been crazy, the things that are going on there in recruiting, in paying players that are already on campus. The transferring, it's got to end. The transferring's got to end. We've got to get to a point where the schools, once again, can count on having players on their roster for at least a couple of years, or make up some sort of rule that you can't transfer in conference or things of that nature. I mean, there has to be some sort of, you know, I'm not a big regulation guy, but this isn't government. This is a sports entity. This is athletics. The NCAA is the governing board. It's essentially the constitution, the charter of college sports. They've got to put rules in place. They have to fix this. They absolutely have to fix it. So we can all go, blah, 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 we don't like this, this, this. The Big 12 did what it had to do. The Big 12 did great here. All right, the Big 12 survives. They survive. Everybody, for years, the Big 12 is just going to disappear. It's going to be gone. Oklahoma and Texas are eventually going to leave. They're going to go to the Pac-12. And it's going to be toast. And I would always respond with, why would Oklahoma and Texas ever go to the Pac-12? On what planet would they do that? And, of course, they didn't. And they never, ever even thought about it. That would have been a terrible place for Oklahoma and Texas to go. And so there they go off to the SEC. And Colorado made the first move here, which was pretty good, after USC and UCLA are headed to the Big Ten. Colorado's like, this league isn't going to make it. We can make $9 million a year more over here in the Big 12. And so they did. And then here came the dominoes. And the thing ends, and I'm happy with this Big 12. I've always felt like, and we've spent a great deal of time in Arizona through the years, I've always felt like that those schools are a good fit here with the Big 12. And I love the time zones. I love the ability to play football games at 10:30 on a Saturday morning if you had an 11:30 start in Orlando, and games at 9:30 at night out west. Not Pacific time, but the Mountain time zone is what's covered here with these schools. It's just, it creates a wonderful opportunity. It creates pretty exciting destinations, travel destinations for fans of teams. I mean, who wouldn't want to go see Kansas play at Arizona in basketball and maybe turn it into a three-day golf weekend or something in Tucson in February? That sounds pretty good. That sounds really good. Or take your family to Orlando, you know, and you're headed to go to the theme parks, do the whole thing while your team's playing a football game there or something like that. There's lots of great places to go in this league now. This is pretty cool. So congratulations to the Big 12 on getting done what needed to be done. And I'm not trying to pick on Eli Drinkwitz. I just don't get it. He just went off on this tangent, this monologue, and so did Dion. You're both part of realignment. You're both, I mean, nobody should be thanking realignment more than Eli Drinkwitz. I mean, he's literally overpaid. Overpaid, which is good for him. Great for him. And I like the guy, because I've said this before, I just like people who say things. So I like both these guys. They both say things. I've just, and I don't really have a problem with what they're trying to communicate. I'm just telling you my ears to this, oh, what about these smaller sport athletes and the travel woes and all that? My ears are deaf to that. I listened to Bob Huggins do that thing for years and years. Oh, we're West Virginia. We're an outpost. Our travel is so much harder than everyone else's. I'm like, when you get on an airplane, really, I've always said this. So, okay, you're at West Virginia and you travel. So your flight is what? An hour longer than somebody else's flight? That's it. You got to fly an hour longer than someone else? Planes are fast. I've been on them. They're really fast. Maybe 90 minutes longer. Oh, you had 90 more minutes of flight time than another team. Wow. I just don't get all the complaining around college athletics. And I do tip my cap to Brett Yormark and the Big 12. Great save there. It looks like they're going to be good at least for 7 or 8 years, right? So they are good to go on that front now. KKHI is brought to you by Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. We love Finch pocket knives here at the Keatsman House, and we love this great local company. They're getting bigger and bigger. They're starting to sell internationally. If you have a store and you would like to stock these and sell these at your store, give us a holler. Go to finchknifeco.com and reach out to them and say, we want to keep life from getting dull with Finch pocket knives. They are gorgeous, and they're available locally here in Kansas City at Shields, the Bullet Hole, and Teague Tractor. Online, finchknifeco.com. The new car image for all your automobile needs. They literally will be your personal concierge, not just, you know, detailing it and bringing it back to new. They'll maintain it for you. They'll do everything for you. They'll go get your license plate, your tags, registration. They'll do all that stuff for you as well. If you'd like them to, they can take care of it. DMV, who wants to go to the DMV? New Car Image will do it for you. Anything to do with your vehicle, it's thenewcarimage.com right now. 15% off for the month of August on any detailing services by the New Car Image. 816-499-1470. Just mention the podcast or use the promo code KKHI at their website, thenewcarimage.com. And Cross Kitchens is online at crosskitchenskc.com. Tim Cross is Kansas City's remodeler. Whether you got a tiny little project with some countertops or you want to completely do a level of your house, Tim's team will handle it. They can do it all. Most jobs typically are done in a couple weeks or less. You don't want your house all torn up. Now, if you're going to be completely remodeling an entire level of your house or the whole thing, obviously that takes longer. But man, they just do great work, and they have a design service, and they show you a 3D rendering before you even have to commit. They'll discuss what's possible at your home. You'll love this. CrossKitchensKC.com. Invest in your home and make it just a better space for you and your family. Online, CrossKitchensKC.com. Oh, we had a couple of interesting things happen in baseball over the weekend. The first is Royals budding superstar Bobby Witt Jr. This almost seems impossible. Became the first player ever in the history of baseball to hit 20 home runs and have 30 stolen bases in each of his first 2 years. That just doesn't even sound possible that nobody's done that before. That's crazy. He's got a shot. He's got a shot at 30 home runs. He's going to have to get hot and be 30-30 this year, which is a big deal. 30-30 is a big deal. But Bobby Witt Jr., and he's making some great defensive plays. He has always made some spectacular defensive plays. I wasn't sure he was going to make it as a shortstop because so many routine plays he was botching, kicking it around or whatever. It is so hard to remember that Bobby Witt Jr. is only 23 years old. Like what, Patrick Mahomes is 5 years older than this guy? It's incredible. I mean, he has an unbelievable future. Bobby Witt Jr. is something else. He is taking over for Salvi. He's the Royals' best player. He's the best player on the team, and he's just been playing terrific baseball. And some of the defensive plays that he's made are just exceptional, too. But the coolest thing in baseball this weekend was a Cleveland-Chicago game. The Guardians and the White Sox. And this is going to be a play-by-play announcer. His name is Tom Hamilton, and he's awesome. He's the Guardians announcer. And Jose Ramirez basically gets a base hit here, and it's a hustle double. He goes sliding into second base where Tim Anderson of the White Sox is the shortstop covering the base. And then, well, it got wild after that. You just got to hear this great call.
A swing and a smash to first by the diving Vaughn. Down the right field line. Kicks into the corner. Ramirez on his way to second. Head first slide. Safe and in to score is Jimenez. And another hustle double. Right over the bag at first. Now Hosey and Anderson square off. They're fighting. They're swinging. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson. Ramirez went in with a head first slide. Hosey never gets upset about anything. They came up chewing. Anderson squared off. Hosey decked him. It's a 5-1 Chicago lead, but everybody from the dugouts and the bullpens congregated around second base. You never see Jose Ramirez get upset like that. And Tim Anderson was on the wrong side of that punch.
That's just an epic call from Tom Hamilton. Tim Anderson down on the ground and got back up. Tim Anderson's like a Royals killer. I mean, that guy, he hits so many home runs against the Royals, he just tears the Royals up, or has in the past. The fight wasn't, I'll be honest with you, the fight was okay. The fight wasn't as great as his call of the fight was. That was a radio call. So Tom Hamilton was not, you were not looking at the video. If you were listening to him, it was the radio call. So that's why he was so detailed in describing it. He actually made the fight sound better than it was, which is what a great announcer does. You know, you're just supposed to hype the thing up, man. And Tom Hamilton just did a great job. That's one of the all-time great calls. Truly one of the all-time great calls. So some fun was had in baseball. Okay, on to golf. And there's a couple things in golf here that we're going to chat about. One is Justin Thomas, who was like the number two or three player in the world a couple of years ago, didn't make the playoffs, the FedEx playoffs. His game is just gone, AWOL. The big story over the weekend was on the LIV Golf Tour. Bryson DeChambeau shot 58. So if you're not a golfer, anytime somebody shoots 59 or 58, it is a huge deal. It's only happened a handful of times on the PGA Tour. It had never happened on LIV, on the LIV Tour. And DeChambeau did this. 58 is incredible. He shot 61 the day before. He won this tournament by 6 strokes. So obviously, Bryson DeChambeau is playing some unbelievably great golf at this point. And I can't even, we played in scrambles and you just sit there and go, oh, this is great. And you don't shoot 58. It's so impossible to do. DeChambeau was the 2020 U.S. Open champion. And he is the opposite of Megan Rapinoe. Bryson DeChambeau loves wearing red, white, and blue. He was thrilled to win the U.S. Open. He is MAGA all the way. wears it out on his sleeve, talked about not taking the COVID shot, not doing this, and he is outspoken. He's the Jason Aldean of golf, if you will. That's Bryson DeChambeau. And he loves him some MAGA and some Trump and some America. And so I think he's easy to root for. A lot of people have not rooted for him in the past, probably because of that. They maybe have different leanings than he does. But I don't know how he became sort of an unpopular figure. He speaks his mind. A lot of the guys on this tour do that. It takes a certain personality to leave the PGA Tour and go to LIV. Obviously, they did it for more money. But there's something about your personality. And this tour, their players say things. They say things that are on their mind. They get it off their chest. They're just different birds. I think they're even more conservative than the players over on the other tour. But shooting 58 was incredible. And somebody asked him how he did it. And I'd never really heard this before. He said, when I was a junior golfer, when I was a kid, I started to get pretty good in my teenage years, but I always played the forward tees. We used to call them the ladies' tees, but they're the forward ones, like the red tees, to make the course as short as possible. He said, I wanted to train myself when I was a teenager how to shoot 58, 59, 60, to go get that feeling of shooting 10, 11, or 12 under par in a round. It's what I wanted to teach myself was expect to go low, that this can happen. I can get 10 under in one round. He said, I did it over and over and over. And a lot of people thought I was crazy because I was playing the course so short when I could just bomb it and hit it right by the green and chip it up and down for a birdie and shoot 59 or something like that. He says, I recommend to any junior golfer out there that has any talent, and I think he's talking maybe like 13 to 17-year-olds, maybe 12 to 17-year-olds, move up to the forward tees, go as low as you can with your scores, and get the mindset of I'm going low today and what it's like. I've never heard anybody really say that. And he did, I thought he was eloquent in his speech. Then they were asking about shooting 58. He says, man, I trained myself to do this. I used to do it from really short distances, but it's just a great feeling. And you get these memories. It's almost like muscle memory. You're playing. I've got this low round going. Dude shot 61 and then 58. That is just ridiculous. This was at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. They've played tournaments there at the Greenbrier for years. Obviously, it's not the hardest course, but man, I don't care. This 58 out on a professional tour like that. He beat the field by 6 shots. That is absolutely astounding. So we were all talking about that at Colbert Hills this weekend, and we had a wonderful event there. And Jeremy and his team and Steve, the pro, they just do a tremendous job hosting this event. I was a guest of the friend you can't mention on the podcast. He's a member there, and I was his guest. And we stayed with them for a couple of nights and just had a great time. It's such a great golf course, Colbert Hills is. If you get a chance to go play it, do it. They had some winter kill in the fairways, like a lot of the courses in our area, but they're replacing all that sod. It's just, the greens are spectacular. They have the stay-and-play lodges there. You can literally take a guy trip or couples or whatever and stay right there. If you want more information, just look at ColbertHills.com. It's really a cool place. And we had the first day of the tournament was just terrific. There was no wind. It was, we were having this record heat summer. It was like 86 degrees. Then yesterday, the wind blew pretty hard. And that's when the golf course has some teeth to it. Colbert Hills is obviously Manhattan. It's in the Flint Hills. It's pretty darn windy when the wind blows. And it was like two different golf courses on two separate days. It was just so much fun. We had a great, great time there. I got a chance to speak with Jim a little bit and a lot of the folks that we know there. Really, really, really nice folks. And appreciate them for having us out and running, as they always do, just running an outstanding tournament. Every time they do any kind of a tournament or something, they're just really terrific at it. KKHI is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Tickets for Less, ticketsforless.com. The Cardinals are coming to Kauffman Stadium this weekend. If you would like to go to the free VIP tailgate that's all-inclusive for 3 hours prior to the Cardinals-Royals games this weekend, use the promo code 1985. That's 1985. 1985. Use that promo code when you buy your tickets for this weekend's game at ticketsforless.com, and you get the free event before the game. It's all your food, beer, seltzer, soft drinks, water, outstanding. Tickets for less, VIP tailgate for the Chiefs game. It's going to be awesome again this year, too. So check it all out, ticketsforless.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs is home of the lifetime warranty. They say we just make it easy at Roberts Robinson, and it's so true. Build your new GM car, truck, SUV, just the way you like it. Call Tim at 816-826-1563 and say, coach me through this. I want a new Silverado, and here's what I want. And they'll build it just like you want it and have it delivered right to you. It's robertrobinson.com. Okay, we got another crazy story here from the world of golf. And I'm really having a hard time with this. And I saw this story, and I wasn't sure I believed it. This is at like the Villages in Florida. Do you know what the Villages are? The Villages is like, it's a community of probably 100,000 or more retirees, essentially. And I don't know, maybe there's 10 golf courses in there, and it's the Villages. I think it's north of Orlando. It's somewhere near Orlando, if memory serves. I've not been to the Villages. I've just heard of it and know some people that are there. But there's a lot of golf takes place. And these are almost exclusively retired people. Well, a guy named Bob Moore, 76 years old, was playing there. I think this was June 28th. So it's been a while. He's playing, and then after the round, an 87-year-old guy named Dean Zook goes rolling through the parking lot and hits a car. And so there's a fender bender in the parking lot. Somehow, this Bob Moore, it didn't even hit Bob Moore's car. Zook hit somebody else's car. I don't know what happened, okay? But Bob Moore has now been arrested for manslaughter. He punched 87-year-old Dean Zook. And I don't think he dropped him because the authorities came or something because the accident and whatnot. And they said this 87-year-old started slurring his words and all this. And, you know, he thought he was okay, but he was dizzy and slurring his words. And they took him to the hospital and his brain was bleeding. And it took a couple weeks, but Dean Zook died from the punch. Now, he was 87. These dudes are at the Villages in Florida after golf. First of all, it's a parking lot fender bender, which never should set anybody off for any reason. And isn't there a point in your life when you're, you know, 76 or 87 that things like that don't worry you anymore? Like maybe you've got other things to be worried about. So this thing happens, and apparently this Bob Moore hit him and gave a statement to the police. I hit him because he grabbed me, is what he said. He said the 87-year-old grabbed him and had him in like a chokehold, and so I hit him. I'm not sure anybody knows exactly for sure, but this is a terrible story. Just a terrible story that this occurred, and the man is dead. Now, we always do this thing. I don't know why we do this thing, but we always do this thing where we go, well, 87, sign me up. I'll take 87 right now. I think a lot of people would probably take 87 right now. So we feel like it's less tragic, but we don't know. This man could, he just finished playing golf and he's 87. He might have had 15 more years to live. What I'm wondering though is the details are really sketchy on the whole thing. If he had a fender bender in the parking lot, did that jolt him? Or was he getting dizzy and had something wrong with him that led him to crash his car in the parking lot? How do we know it really was from the punch? I think this is going to be a hard one to prosecute, but that's just crazy. We got a lot of golf fight stories this year around the country. People scrapping up and getting into it. One dude pushed another guy off a walking bridge last week down into a ditch and like separated his shoulder or something and got arrested. And don't fight on the golf course, folks. Do not fight. Play golf. Just go play golf. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time, open air, clean spaces, have some fun. You hit a couple of bad shots, big deal. It's not worth fighting over. Thanks to our friends at Advantage Termite and Pest Control for being a great sponsor. KKHI online at AdvantageTPC.com. Amazing garage floors. I'm going to see John and Heather this week. They're going to be coming over. We're going to do a meet the sponsor event, a little podcast with them. They're really interesting folks. And you'll get to know them a little bit better when we do that later this week. AmazingGarageFloors.net and Earth Effects Outdoor, the official landscapers of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Appreciate all the great work that Daniel and his team do at Earth Effects Outdoor. They're online at eeoutdoor.com. Should be a big week of news here. Chiefs camp's rolling along. We're going to, as we roll toward the weekend, the Chiefs' first preseason game is coming up. So we're going to have a lot of that to talk about. I'm very excited about that. And some of the goings on, everybody's been talking about Patrick Mahomes and his behind-the-back passes that he's throwing in practice. I don't know if you've seen him or not. They're all over Twitter. And here's what I like about the behind-the-back pass that I'm okay with. Now, the one that most people have shared out there from Patrick Mahomes, I don't like that one because he throws it from a low release point and the ball's going up. Okay, the curse of any forward pass is a ball that's going up. Don't ever want that. You don't want it going up because it's just too hard to catch. It's easily tipped and could go pick six the other way. I have no problem with Mahomes learning this behind his back thing, and here's why. I think it's a great play for him to avoid a sack. Like, okay, you've got your little dump down guy over here, and here comes the pressure. How many times have you seen a quarterback either eat it, completely eat it, okay, and just take the sack, or try to throw it out there to the running back off in the flat and get their arm hit, and hey, maybe the ball's a live ball. A lot of bad things can happen. If you go behind your back, there's no defender there. The only thing he has to do is make sure it's going forward, because if it's going forward, it's incomplete pass. He can bounce it on the ground and get away with it. Once he's shown that on tape, the officials are going to know this is a, by rule, that's a forward pass. It doesn't mean you can't throw it behind your back. It has to go forward, and we don't ever want to see one above the waist. That pass really should be about thigh high. If you're going to throw it to the running back, you want to throw it right at his thighs. That's where the ball would need to be. But I think more than anything, it's a great move to avoid a sack that they can't call grounding. If your guy's out there, you know, and the blitz is coming, you're like, whoop, I got to get rid of this thing. I could see him doing that, avoiding a sack with an incomplete. I don't care if he completes it. If you're avoiding a sack, I'll just take the incomplete pass. Be good, but it's fun. The videos out there of him right now and the things that you're seeing from camp are really fun. They love to put on a show, even in training camp, and we'll get some more details later this week of what the first game is going to look like this week. I think they play Sunday at noon. It's weird. There's a couple of Sunday games. I think they play Sunday at noon, and whether Mahomes plays or not doesn't really matter. You know, we'll root for the uniforms. We'll turn it on. We'll take a look at some preseason football and see how it goes. We got a lot of that this week as well, and I can't thank you enough for listening to the podcast. I got at the golf tournament this week, I got 20 Probably 20 people came up and said they love the podcast, and another 20 said, well, what are you doing now? I said, I'm doing a podcast. And then I show them how to hit the follow button on their phone, and now they're listening. Good for business. Playing in golf tournaments is good for business. Boy, I'm sure glad you're here every day. As always, thanks so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.